Good morning. It is Thursday, September 22nd, and things that are trending this hour, the Washington Monument. A man has been charged with vandalizing the Washington Monument with red paint. He told police that he traveled from his hometown and had planned on doing it for some time. He's a 44-year-old man with no motive so far. At least they haven't released what his motive was. His hometown, guess what, is in Indiana. Also trending, Adam Levine. He has admitted to cheating in the past. He said monogamy is not in our genetic makeup. And finally trending, Pepsi. They say to celebrate the last days of summer with their limited batch of Pepsi S'mores collection. Mix and match flavors. I know you're a Pepsi fan. Would you like a Pepsi that tastes like a s'more?
What did you just say?
Yeah, it's s'more flavored Pepsi. Marshmallows, graham crackers, chocolate.
That sounds horrible.
In a can. I drink Coke, so I'm not on board with the Pepsi to begin with, but...
You know what the greatest, the highlight of Pepsi, the high point of Pepsi was when, this must have been 1992 or 1993, they had a product called Crystal Clear Pepsi.
Yeah.
And as a young man of whatever I was, 8 or 9 years old, Crystal Clear Pepsi was phenomenal. Because it looked like water.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mother used to, I would always make sure my mother saw me walk past with a glass of Crystal Clear Pepsi, and she would often compliment me for drinking so much water. And that really was the pinnacle, because I was a conniving, manipulative little crap back then, just like I am today. That was really the high point of Pepsi, and they, you know, they haven't been able to equal or eclipse that ever since. Crystal Clear Pepsi.
That's
bring
what it, did it.
Bring it back. Hey, real quick, before we get into this hour, I mentioned this before we went on the air, and I must know what's going on. I have a major issue with Domino's Pizza.
What's going on?
Well, I've been a fan. Domino's used to have a special where it was a large three-topping pizza for $6.99.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great deal, and it was phenomenal. It was a carryout. You had to drive there to get it. Biden inflation... Mm-hmm. Thanks to Todd Young and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders printing all the money, it raised the price of my pizza to $7.99, which, look, we're all suffering because of Todd Young's votes, and this is just the pittance that I have to pay, and that's fine. So I called yesterday when I got off the air. I was coming home back to beautiful Brownsburg. I called the phone number, as I have called for years and years and years and years and years and years, that Domino's has been in the same location in the heart of downtown Brownsburg since I was a little boy. I think maybe even since I moved there. I don't know.
Since you were drinking Crystal Clear Pepsi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Called the number, and it doesn't ring.
Hmm.
It goes to some sort of recorded service.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, you know, usually it used to be while you're waiting for the person to answer, it's an on-hold service. You know, try this special, try that special. Someone will be right with you. Great, fine. This goes to an automated service, and it says, if you would like to order a pizza, press 1. Well, no kidding. Why else would I be calling the Brownsburg Domino's? So I press 1.
Mm-hmm.
Then someone who is barely appears to be speaking English answers the phone, and I said, we are in for a brave new experience here because this is not how it has ever worked before. And they then proceed, and I realize because there are people in the background, but it is not like people making pizzas in the background.
It's other people taking phone calls.
I am now in a call center of some sort.
Wow.
And this person then proceeds to ask me, after it takes me a while to parse through what she is asking me, what I would like to order. And so I make the order that I have always made. They have had this large three topping, $6.99 before Todd Young voted dad, $11 trillion in national debt, now $7.99, that I have ordered for years and years and years and years and years and years. And then she proceeds to say, what zip code are you ordering from? Once again, proof, I am no longer talking to a person in the community of which I want to order the pizza. I then proceed to give her the zip code. She then tells me, oh, we don't have that special there anymore. So I'm demanding two answers from Domino's Pizza. One, why do I have to call a call center to order a pizza in the community?
Mm-hmm.
And two, has Todd Young made society so bad that I can no longer have my discounted three-topping large pizza?
I love how you connect those dots, those domino dots.
It didn't happen accidentally. The price went up, 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 and then now it doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't think Domino's stopped making people happy or making money.
So they're outsourcing the call. Are they outsourcing the pizza? Did you get a pizza?
No, I said I'm out.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Not happy I didn't do this call center. I was willing to deal with that.
Right.
But I am not going to suffer on my pizza experience because of Todd Young's terrible votes.
What are you
going
to do? You going to switch to Little Caesars?
Well, do we want to get into that?
Yes.
Kevin, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably for the best that you didn't actually talk to a person at your local Domino's.
Yeah.
Because they might recognize your voice.
Well, I've had that happen before, too. And thankfully, the guy was a fan.
Oh,
that's good. Because if he wasn't, he'd probably spit on your pizza.
Right.
Well, this happened to me. This must have been 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they can obviously see the number when you call. They know who it is. They have it in the directory. And so the guy is going through the thing and he goes, do you happen to be the same Rob Kendall that's on WIBC? And I told him, I said, depends. Did you vote for Biden or Trump? And he was a big fan of the station. Little Caesars, for years, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Young has also crushed my Little Caesars experience. For years and years and years, $5, large pizza, hot and ready. That was the commercial. For years and years and years and
you
years.
You just gotta go pick it up.
And about 6 months ago, I went in there, and all of a sudden, the pizza is now $5.99. Okay, I guess that's the price for terrible representation.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I went in there the other day, $6.99 now.
Really?
$2 more.
Wow. What are you going to do?
I used to, because I always got the thing of marinara sauce with it. I used to be able, for $6, to get a large pizza mm-hmm. with a tub of marinara sauce mm-hmm. with applicable taxes. What would that be? 9%. It used to be $6.53 out the door. $8.49.
Wow.
What world are we living in, Casey?
Well, that's inflation, right? Are you going to try Hungry Howie's?
No, I'm done. I'm done with it.
Yourself a frozen cardboard pizza.
Well, those are at least a little less expensive.
But they're going up too. My frozen cardboard pizza from Costco went up in price.
Well, and then you got to factor in how much it costs to heat the oven, and that's gone up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have been totally screwed.
It's 10% across the board. Raise on everything you put in your mouth. He's Rob Kendall. My name is Casey Daniels. It's 93 WIBC. Federal authority. Oh, you know what? Before we get into this, Rob.
Yes.
Let's give out the phone number for the voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
How's that going?
We got the voicemail set back up by popular demand.
Mm-hmm.
Joey in the chat says, I should have told him I'm the Brownsburg Elvis. Give me my deal.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Do you know who I am? No, clearly she didn't know.
Because she's not in Brownsburg.
Right, right. She's like, Rob Kendall who?
We have set the voicemail back up.
Mm-hmm. That number's 317-684-8444.
And the rules are, if you can't say it on the radio, we will not play it on the voicemail. I'm not going to the effort to edit out your your lack of grammatical restraint. So if you leave a voicemail, if it's good, we might play it on the air, 317-684-8444.
Okay. Federal authorities unveiled charges. This is against 47 people this week, accused of siphoning $250 million from a coronavirus pandemic relief program that was designed to provide meals for children during the pandemic. But the Justice Department saying it was all just one big brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
Well, what was it? Can you read that, the last part of that? It was a what? Fill in the blank.
A brazen scheme of staggering proportions. $250 million.
One more time. Just what it's called.
A brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
You could say that about the entire money printapalooza mm-hmm. that took place in 2020 and 2021. The whole thing was completely ridiculous, riddled with waste, fraud, and abuse. And here is another example. And people should be outraged about this because this was printed money.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't cut from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It was printed money that is driving up the price of absolutely everything, as we just laid out. And it was given to people, organizations, groups
mm-hmm.
who did not follow through on the things they were supposed to follow through on. It went to the pocket of select individuals. And this once again shows that for these people, I won't say any names, from Indiana, who is a U.S. senator who voted for this and is super proud about it. He goes by the surname Duke of Spendingburg, who will defend this to the death. Here's another $250 million of fraud and abuse because there was no oversight. Nobody thought any of this through. Nobody had any checks and balances on this. I mean, this is small potatoes, $250 million. There's hundreds of billions that have been uncovered in this. But another example of how these people in Washington, D.C. have destroyed our existence, and they don't care at all.
So this was a federally funded program with COVID money, and it was supposed to serve needy children in Minnesota during the pandemic. And the FBI director is saying that they went to great lengths to divert $250 million just to enrich themselves. And there was no checks or balance of, let's make sure that this money is really going to where it's being told.
So I was thinking yesterday, after all the years now of abuse by our government towards the citizenry and how terrible they've treated us and how they have printed us into where you can barely afford food, and the food you can't afford is markedly more expensive than it used to be, and a lot of stuff you can't even get. I was just trying to think of how we would best sum up what is going on in this country and how American citizens are being treated by their government. And there was only one thing that came to my mind. It is from the scene. It is from the movie Animal House. Mm-hmm. The scene is set where the Delta House has taken Flounder's brother's very expensive car. They have completely wrecked and destroyed it after a night out on the town. And we, the American taxpayer, are Flounder, Kent Dorfman, and the United States government is the rest of Delta House, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, hey, stop flubbering. When I get through with this thing, you won't even recognize it.
Hey, come on, Flounder. You can't spend your whole life worrying about your mistakes. You f***ed up. You trusted us. Hey, make the best of it. Maybe we can help you.
That's easy for you to say. What am I going to tell Fred?
I'll tell you what, I'll swear you were doing a great job taking care of his car, but you parked it out back last night, and this morning, it was gone. D-Day takes care of the wreck. We report it to the police. Your brother's insurance company buys him a new car.
Will that work?
Hey, it's got to work better than the truth. My advice to you,
start drinking heavily.
You better listen to him, Flounder. He's in pre-med.
There you go now. Just leave everything to me.
Is that not the most perfect analogy ever? We are Flounder. The federal government is the Delta House. You effed up. You trusted us.
You trusted us.
Really? You think that'll work? Well, sure. It's got to be work better than the truth. Just leave everything to us.
Uh-huh. And then D-Day just sets a torch to
I was just like picturing myself there watching that scene. And I said, I am Flounder Kent Dorfman. And Todd Young is Eric Stratton.
You trusted us. You trusted us. That's your bad. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. The CEO of JP Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, told policy members during a House Financial Services hearing to be prepared for the worst. Boy, that's reassuring, isn't it?
You're in love with Jamie Dimon, aren't you?
He's a smart, smart guy. You know, you talk about economists, and he's not just looking at next year or next month. He's looking 20, 30 years down the road. I mean, clearly you don't get into that position without being a pretty smart person, but he's like next level.
You know how in the cartoons, like when one cartoon will fall in love with another cartoon, they get the really quickly flapping eyelids and the hearts are over their head.
Is that what I'm doing?
That was Casey when she came in today. She just out of nowhere, she just goes, Jamie Dimon is so smart.
He is.
And I mean, it was just short of like a light coming on over your head and Dreamweaver playing in the background. This was great, though. You're absolutely right. So he's the head of Chase. Mm-hmm. Rashida Tlaib, who is one of those lunatic members of the squad, was demanding insane climate requirements for banks.
Well, she wanted the banks to stop funding fossil fuels.
Right. And she goes on this rant, and then I guess there was a question in there, maybe. Jamie Dimon absolutely lets her have it. And then listen to the end of it's the best part, because she does the most socialist thing ever. She demands that every person punish him and his company for him simply not agreeing with her. Listen.
You have all committed, as you all know, to transition the emissions from lending and investment activities to line with pathways to net zero in 2050. Do you know what the International Energy Agency has said is required to meet our global 2050 net zero targets of limiting global temperature rise to 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit or 1.5 degrees Celsius? So no new fossil fuel production starting today. That's like zero. So I would like to ask all of you and go down the list, because again, you all have agreed to doing this. Please answer with a simple yes or no. Does your bank have a policy against funding new oil and gas products, Mr. Dimon?
Absolutely not, and that would be the road to hell for America.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Sir, you know what? Everybody that got relief from student loans has a bank account with your bank should probably take out their account and close their account. The fact that you're not even there to help relieve many of the folks that are in debt, extreme debt, because of student loan debt, and you're out there criticizing it.
So his company is trying to meet the federal government more than halfway. They're trying to abide by the bizarro climate fetish obsession that the left has. They're doing their part. But because he will not, in absolutism, say whatever nonsensical psychobabble that you utter is okay, mm-hmm. Her response to him is, screw all the good in our eyes you're doing in terms of trying to meet these ridiculous demands, but because you will not, in absolutism, say, yes, the insanity that just came out of your mouth is a great idea, now she calls for everybody to pull their money out
right.
of her account.
Don't do business with this bank. They're a bank. They're in business to make money. He went on to say that we're not getting this one right. The world needs 100 million barrels effectively of oil and gas every day, and we need it for 10 plus years.
People need to be very clear about, and this is why we have said, and we played it yesterday with Kamala and the clip of Kamala saying, now we must give free community college to everyone. You cannot work with liberals. You cannot meet them halfway. This is why I hate this idea of bipartisanship. You can't. Can't work with them, can't be their buddies, can't be their friends, because they believe in the destruction of America. What she is proposing, and Jamie Dimon, who is by no means a radical right-wing Republican, but he understands math and reality, would destroy this country, which is what she wants, because she is a socialist. She hates America. She hates the idea of America. She hates what America stands for. When Republicans keep trying to meet these people halfway and go along with the Democrats,
give them an inch.
This is why you should never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 never try to work with these people. There are elections, and let the winner sort it out, because that's what they always do to us.
Yeah, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and we have reached a new milestone with fentanyl overdoses, and we're going to get to that next on 93 WIBC. Fentanyl overdose deaths have topped 100,000 for the first time ever. This is according to the CDC. It's a lot. It's the leading cause of overdose, fentanyl. So I've had a little experience with fentanyl.
Yeah.
It was kind of scary. And I asked permission from the associate to tell the story, and he said it was okay, so I'm going to share it with you.
Oh, okay.
So over this summer, he had some medical issues, and it wasn't something little. It was pretty intense, and he was in the hospital. And so the day before he had his procedure, he was on all sorts of different painkillers. And the day of the procedure, they told me and they told him, we're going to give you fentanyl. And they don't just give you fentanyl. They do all sorts of things. They put...
Can I ask a really stupid question?
Yeah.
And this, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm genuinely curious. Do you snort fentanyl? Do you eat it? Do you inject it?
It's a pill, typically. But when he was in the hospital, it was in the IV drip.
Okay, so like, but I'm saying like a drug user, because always hear someone overdosed on fentanyl. Do they inject that?
I believe it's just a pill.
Kevin, do you know? Not that I'm saying that you are would be an expert in this, but for purpose, do you? What do you do with the fentanyl? How do you get it? How do you get it in you?
I always, I mean, I know about the overdoses, and I thought that there's like traces and cocaine.
Right. So I'm saying, so you snort it. Okay. That was my. Clearly, we are a bunch of experts here and avid drug users on this show. Okay. That was apropos of nothing. I'm sorry for derailing your story. I was just genuinely curious.
I thought it was in pill form, Kevin.
No. I think he's right. I mean, I think monitored use is in pill form. Well, I think
do they like crush it up and put it in the cocaine.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if somebody's a fentanyl expert that would like to let us know, I mean, this shows again. Rob Kendall's never even smoked marijuana, so clearly fentanyl not up my alley. At Rob M. Kendall or Casey Daniels 317 on Twitter. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail your story.
No, it's all good. I was amazed at how his body completely changed.
Really?
When they gave him the fentanyl. They put these leg compression pumps on his legs to make sure that there weren't blood clots and to keep the blood flowing in his body.
Wow.
You could see a marked difference in his breathing. And, you know, obviously he already had heart monitors on because he was in the hospital, but then they put the oxygen thing on his finger. And I asked him, I said, how long is he going to be on this? Because I was concerned. And they said, oh, just today. And it was just the smallest amount.
Yeah.
And I sat there in the hospital room for hours just staring at him, watching him, because his breathing became very, very shallow. And that's the thing with the fentanyl, people aren't trying to overdose on it. It just happens. It is so strong, 50 times more powerful than heroin. And when you take that sort of medicine, it is just, it's incredible. I wish I was doing a better job at describing
right.
it because it's scary stuff.
Well,
it is so powerful.
Well, opioids are much that way too. I mean, when I had the hair procedure done, they gave me opioids afterwards, and I took one the first night, threw up everywhere, mm-hmm. and said, that's it, we're done with that, I'll just live in pain. Because that stuff is not designed, I mean, I'm not consult your local physician, obviously, but there's really strong stuff in there that is, I don't think necessarily in its purest of forms designed to enter into the human mm-hmm. body. And I think you saw it with the fentanyl, that you can do obviously immense damage and up to and including death with a very little amount of it.
Yeah. And do you know when you get your blood pressure taken, they put that cuff on your arm and they pump it up and then they release it.
Whenever I get that, the nurse is always so amazed at how great my blood pressure is.
Yeah.
They will always just marvel, which is weird because, you know, it's me, but at a resting normal rate, apparently I have incredible blood pressure.
Yeah. Well, imagine having that cuff on your leg.
Uh-huh.
And it's intermittent and it's doing it, you know, it's plugged in and it just goes and it's pumping up your leg.
Yeah.
And then it releases. And then it pumps up your leg and then it releases. Mm-hmm. And that is on you. Because you have ingested fentanyl and they want to make sure that your blood keeps flowing throughout your entire body. That's how strong it is. They need another machine to make sure that you don't have a blood clot and you don't die from it. Some powerful stuff.
What is, okay, another stupid question. Why did they give that to him? Like, what was the reason for that? Did they say we're picking this because fill in the blank?
Well, it was pain okay. relief because it was right after he had some surgery.
Right.
And,
okay.
You
so
know.
That is the, and again, stupid small town Rob Kendall, what is the general even premise of this? How did it get incorporated? It's for pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
It was in his case. I'm assuming that's what it is for many people who are on it with a doctor's note. But Colorado saw an almost 70% increase in fatal fentanyl overdoses last year. And they're saying it's because the cartel has figured out that Denver is a good place to start because of I-70 goes east to west across the country and I-25 goes north and south. And you think, well, okay, a city like Indianapolis may be more centrally located for distribution, right?
Yeah.
But if they're coming up from Mexico, it's just a straight shot up to Denver. And the cartel is setting up logistics like you would a company.
Yeah.
And that's where they're starting from and moving out from there.
So Matt Gaetz is a representative from Florida. He was a high-profile Trump supporter. I had initially, and I'm glad I did because it gave you an opportunity to tell that story, put this on just because he makes a fairly astute observation about cocaine, but he really gets into the danger of what's happening. And again, like I said, I initially put this on the template because I just kind of chuckled it when he said, why are people using, you know, why is cocaine dangerous? You'll hear the clip here where he says it. Well, duh. But it actually sparked a pretty good conversation here. So take a listen.
Because no one overdoses on fentanyl, because I don't think anybody really sets out to like score some fentanyl for a good time. I get why it's hard to keep cocaine from coming into the country. People in the United States like using cocaine. They seek it out. They pay high dollar amounts for it. And so that would be something hard to stop. But since people don't set out to use fentanyl, since it's something we don't want in our country, we should be totally capable of stopping.
He's right. And people don't know what they're doing, and they don't know what's going into their body. And it is always, look, I know addiction's a very serious, terrible thing, but it always amazes me because you don't just, you get addicted to things, right? Mm-hmm. You become addicted to things, and becoming addicted means you have to try it to begin with. And I've never understood why people would go down this route ever to begin with. Like, there are things that are meant to go into your body.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that are outside of what comes out of nature are overseen by a doctor, because they have a fairly good idea about what that will do to your body. And if it's not in nature or overseen by a doctor, I've always wondered why people would do that to them, to themselves.
Just this week, country singer Luke Bell had an accidental fentanyl overdose.
All right, so let's move on to something. I'd like to say it's more uplifting, but it's not, but it's very important as well. Starting tomorrow, we are going to begin having school board candidates on this show for various school districts across central Indiana. Tomorrow, we're going to have someone from Carmel on, I believe.
Yeah.
And the school board is, look, we've said Secretary of State is probably the most important thing you're going to vote on this fall because of the vast ramifications from that. But other than Secretary of State, school board is probably the second most important thing you're going to vote on this fall, because public education in this state is completely out of control. The Republican Party as a collective, as a state legislature, and Lockdown McGee in the governor's mansion are doing nothing to stop it. Radical leftism is overtaking public schools, and there are many, many school board races this fall where we have an opportunity to put people in, whether you live in Carmel or Noblesville or Brownsburg or Avon or wherever, you have an opportunity to fix it. But you got to know who's running. So, you know, Casey and I kind of talked about it and said, I think it's important that we start having school board candidates on who believe in standing up for liberty and freedom, believe in putting parents in charge, believe that parents know what's best for kids, and get this radical liberalism out of public schools. Glenn Youngkin is the governor of Virginia. He was largely elected last year on that premise and on that forum. And I thought this clip was great. I think he was on Fox News. And he's talking about, Casey, how parents should make decisions for their children. In this case, he's talking about the, you know, the transgender issue. But what he said in general is correct. Not public schools or a government entity. And this is especially true, as Glenn Youngkin says, when you're talking about if little kids, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, are going to decide to switch from a boy or a girl. Take a listen.
Well, Sean, first of all, this is not controversial. This is about restoring power to parents. And let's just be clear. Children do not belong to the state. They belong to families. And when a child is wrestling with this kind of decision, a parent should absolutely be the primary counselor, advisor, and helper in wrestling with this decision. That doesn't mean that there's not a role for a teacher or a trusted counselor, administrator, but parents should be the absolute primary advisor, and to shut them out, to close them out of this, doesn't make any sense. And that's why we pressed forward with these model policies that put parents in the primary role. And anybody who thinks that parents should be shut out, I can't quite understand where they think the decision should be made if families and parents aren't the primary decision maker with a child.
Couple things people need to remember. I didn't mean to cut you off. I know you were going to say something there. And as a pro-woman in the workplace person, unlike Democrat Secretary of State candidate Destiny Wells, who will not correspond with you,
I feel bad that I cut you off there, so I'm sorry about that. But I'll be very quick. You got one chance to get your school board right this fall. You got to, in school districts across the state. And people need to remember, I believe if you vote straight ticket, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe this is the case. Another reason not to vote straight ticket. If you vote straight ticket because school board is nonpartisan, you do not make it to the school board races. So you've got to make sure you work through the ballot. Another reason, someone can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I believe that is true, that if you vote straight ticket, because the school board is, and maybe they've changed it now to where they will let you flip to the back. Either way, you shouldn't vote straight ticket anyway, because there's no way every single Republican or every single Democrat has earned your vote. Don't be lazy. But you've got one shot at this year, because if you give these radical leftists in Carmel or Brownsburg or Fishers or Avon or Greenwood or where, they're everywhere now in central Indiana, because they didn't want to live in the crap that is Marion County, so they moved out and they brought their crap to us. You better pay attention to who's running for your school board this year.
And if you don't think that the parents should have the first say, who should?
I agree. Now, one more thing before we go, because Kevin was so kind to pull this audio, and we, since we put Kevin to work, we want to make sure he earns his pay. I wanted to play this audio.
State Department spokesperson sounding a lot like Jake Blues.
Yes. Okay. So this is deals with the border, and this guy was on Fox News.
And Martha's been on fire lately. She's like the female Peter Ducey.
Yes, Martha McCallum, Fox News, was pressing this guy on all the people that have gotten away. And it is just great trying to hear this guy excuse his way out of it. Ned Price is the guy's name from the State Department. Take a listen.
With all due respect, would you say that it's fair to say that those efforts are failing since 2 million people have crossed the border, a record number, 900,000 of them have gotten away? The numbers do matter, Ned, right?
Of course, numbers matter, but it also matters that this is a challenge that has built up over the course of decades now.
But it's gotten considerably worse during your administration, the administration you work for, considerably worse, not better. Root causes have not been addressed.
And of course, we have never been under any illusions, nor should anyone, that we can fully address the root causes overnight or over the course of a week or a month. But this is something that we are working on. We're working on it as diligently as we can. We brought together the countries of the hemisphere in June in Los Angeles to work on this very challenge. There was a declaration that resulted from that. That is the first time that countries of the Western Hemisphere have come together in this way to agree on managing this migration. Right. Challenge for our hemisphere. We know that
then you must be disappointed in the numbers, Ned. I understand if you're all working on it, and obviously that's your job, and everyone wants you to do that. But it must be disappointing when you see 2 million people cross the border when you're trying to address these root causes. That something maybe has to give.
Why does Biden refuse to visit the border?
That's a great question. Great question.
Yeah, I mean, is he too busy? He's been on vacation 141 days so far this year.
That is a phenomenal question, and not just as president, throughout his entire life. Mm-hmm. Why does Joe Biden refuse to visit the border?
Yeah. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Thanks for being here. Good morning. It is 10 minutes in front of noon. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And if you don't know the candidate, leave it blank.
Yes.
Don't vote straight ticket.
A very trusted, high-ranking government official who shall not be named, because it's always 50-50 on whether you'll be celebrated in town square or tarred and feathered in town square by a public association with me, said, because we were talking about the school board race. Mm-hmm. And I said, I believe that if you've straight ticket vote, if you're that lazy, if you're that pathetically lazy that you can't work through your ballot and figure out who the candidates are and vote for the best candidates, then hopefully at least the fact that you won't get to vote for your school board would be punishment enough for you to not be that pathetically lazy. And I was told, indeed, that is correct by an election official in Indiana, shall remain nameless. They said, you are correct. Straight ticket also does not vote for at-large candidates or voting for more than one candidate. Do not be a straight ticket voter. There's no way that every Republican or every Democrat earned your vote on the ballot. There's no way you know, for the vast majority of people, more than half the people on your ballot. And this is how Republicans and Democrats build the two-party dominance, is they recognize, in the case of Republicans, you know, probably 30% of people are going to go in there and vote straight party and pull a Ralph Wiggum on The Simpsons and go, I'm helping.
No, you're not. No, you're not helping. Or in this case, in Indiana, you know, 20% of the Democrats or whatever. You have an obligation to be an informed voter. It doesn't take that long to figure out who these people are. It doesn't figure out that long to do a little research on them. And there's a whole bunch of people that haven't earned your vote, so why would you give it to them? Mm-hmm. Don't be a straight ticket voter. Don't be lazy.
Okay. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And the driver of the vehicle carrying Jackie Walorski was at fault for the head-on crash that killed the Republican and three other people. So Zachary Potts was driving the Toyota RAV4. He was traveling northbound. It was on a two-lane road last month. And he was behind a flatbed truck. And according to Elkhart County Sheriff's Office, he was trying to pass the truck on the left. And that's when he and all the passengers collided with a Buick that was being driven on the southbound lane.
Okay, so my question on this, and obviously this was a tragically horrific death, mm-hmm. accident, multiple deaths, not disputing any of that. It's terrible. But how is it? I mean, Casey, it's been a story for a couple days now, but it's not been a story in the sense mm-hmm. of like, you're not hearing a bevy of people talking about it.
Yeah.
And what essentially the allegation here is you had a government employee with a high-ranking government official in the automobile and another person move out, make an egregious choice. One, the person was going 82 miles an hour, yeah. allegedly.
Yeah.
And tried to pass into another lane with oncoming traffic. And it resulted in the death of a United States taxpayer. As if the three government officials dying is not bad enough, another innocent, law-abiding citizen was killed. Mm-hmm. And yet, we're not hearing hardly anybody talk about this.
Nobody's asking why it happened or what happened.
This wasn't a thing where, oh my gosh, a tire blew, something cracked a windshield. I mean, I'm trying to think of the reason. This was, at least according to the report, mm-hmm. entirely done with consent and consensus and was 100%
operator
driven. Mm-hmm. And it involved the death of a United States congressperson. And yet it's like nobody's like talking about that. Like, is this normal operating procedure that members of the United States Congress and their staff? I mean, where could you have been in that big a hurry on that road to be going 82 miles an hour? You're right. A congressperson. Everybody waits for you. Like what? What I don't understand is like, how is this one not a bigger story, and two, is this like standing operating procedure? And was the congressperson just not paying attention? Because you go in 82, and it's not on a major highway, you know you're going 82.
Yeah.
So obviously it's a horrific, tragic death, but I still just thought, how is nobody else really talking about this?
So police said that no phones were apparently being used, so there wasn't texting involved, and there was no indication of mechanical failures either. It was just a matter of someone driving way too fast, trying to pass, and colliding head on.
And what sort of, and again, not that money or anything like that matters at this time, but as a taxpayer, what sort of liability legally have we opened ourselves up for? Because let's face it, it was a government person mm-hmm. with the government officials on, I guess was government travel, mm-hmm. and it resulted in the death of an innocent mm-hmm. person. I there's so many unanswered questions about this that I'm just very confused about, and why there isn't more digging going on, and why like this just is not a bigger story. But
well, the Elkhart County Sheriff's Department said that they have closed the case. There's no more investigation that's going to happen. They've figured out why the accident occurred. This is it. End of story.
Okay.
They are moving on. And it's time for us to move on as well. Thank you, Rob. Kevin, we are so glad you're back. You did an excellent job today. Now go finish getting all your paperwork from the new company that you missed when you were gone. You have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you back here on Friday. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.